Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your beloved faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. God, through Moses, gave the Israelites and us the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. And from that moment on, the leaders of the Israelites thought they needed more laws for an orderly society, which eventually led to the Israelites having 613 commandments to obey, and I'm not going to read all of those. Those 613 commandments are the ones in question when a Pharisaic lawyer tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Which is the greatest commandment in the law? What would you say if a Muslim, an atheist, or a Buddhist were to test you with this question? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? When trying to articulate why we believe and what we believe, perhaps an obvious, simple answer is much better than an innovated and complex one. This little story is a good example of how easy it is for us to miss the obvious, even when it is in plain sight. One day, a truck pulls up at the border. Immediately, the customs officer becomes suspicious. He orders the driver out and searches the vehicle. He pulls off the door panels, the bumpers, and the hubcaps, but finds nothing. Still suspicious, but at a loss to know where else to search, he waves the driver through. The next week, the same driver arrives. Again, the officer searches the truck and again finds nothing illegal. Over the years, the official tries full body searches, x-rays, and sonar, anything he can think of. And each week, the same man drives up, but no mysterious cargo ever appears. And each time, the customs officer reluctantly waves the driver on. Many years go by, and on the day of the officer's retirement, the driver pulls up, and the officer says, "I know you're a smuggler. Don't try and deny it. But I cannot figure out what you've been smuggling all these years. I'm retiring today and can do you no harm. Please tell me what you have been smuggling." With a grin on his face, the driver says, "Trucks." Y'all were a lot more awake than they were at 7:45. Although well equipped with the wisdom of the Old Testament, the Apocrypha, and the New Testament, we can be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, missing the obvious and overthinking our faith, especially when it comes to what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, which is why it's good for us to routinely ask ourselves, why am I a Christian? Why am I a Christian? And since I am a Christian, what is my purpose as a follower of Jesus Christ? What is my purpose as a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, only you can articulate why you are a Christian. However, Jesus gave us these two obviously commands as our primary purpose as a follower of Jesus Christ, from which everything else Jesus asks us to do follows. This must come first. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus' summary of the law, it's easy to say, and yet it is difficult to put into perfect practice, which means it's a vision we will never be able to perfectly achieve as long as we inhabit our earthly bodies. And that is absolutely okay. That is okay. because that fact doesn't release us from the responsibility of doing our best to love God and our neighbor every single day. And when we repent of our shortcomings, when they happen, and they will happen, God will forgive us. It has been said, nothing worth doing is ever easy. Nothing worth doing is ever easy. And that's especially true when it comes to loving God and our neighbor. Because were it easy, we would have never found out. We would never know that love actually begins with God. A love enabling us to love God in return and our neighbor as we love ourselves, because we know that we are beloved children of God even when we fail. Even when we fail, we are beloved children of God. God loving us when we fail, when we really mess things up, it is encouragement to us to do better. And it is also an example for us to follow when our neighbor fails. You see, we're not reflecting Jesus' love for us when we love someone who loves us. We reflect God's love for us into a hurting world through Jesus Christ during those times when our neighbor isn't very loving, and yet we love them anyway. Is it difficult? Yes, it is. Is it impossible? With God's help, it's a little more easier to accomplish. In the book Stepping Heavenward, Elizabeth Payson Prentice wrote, "Go home and say to yourself, I am a wayward, foolish child, but he loves me. I have disobeyed and grieved God 10,000 times, but he loves me. I have lost faith in some of my dearest friends and am very desolate, but he loves me. I do not love God. I am even angry with God, but he still loves me." God loves us and God loves our neighbors. Therefore, we in turn should love God and our neighbor. Not because it is the lawful thing to do. Not because it's the lawful thing to do. But we are to do it because we are loved. And because we are loved, it is the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. If this was our vision, St. Matthias Church is a community seeking to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our minds, and seeking to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. How would the mission of St. Matthias Church change? How would the mission of St. Matthias Church change? What would our worship and our prayers look like? Would our actions reflect more of God's love for our entire community? What changes in our lives would others see in us as we strive to love our neighbors and each other as God loves us? What changes in our lives would others see in us as we strive to love our neighbors and each other as God loves us? And now I want you to pray along silently with me as I pray this prayer. It's in the first person, so do pray along with me. Oh Lord, I do want to love you with all that I am. And I want to love you by loving others in your name. Forgive me, Lord, when I fail to be loving, especially to those who are closest to me. My friends, my family, my colleagues, my neighbors. May my love for you inspire and enrich my love for others, starting with me. Help me, dear Lord, to love those I find hard to love. You know who they are. How easy it is for me to ignore them, to dismiss them, to judge them, to do anything but love them. Forgive me for failing to act toward them with Christ-like love. Help me to extend your love to them through words and deeds of kindness and compassion, and to love one another, starting with me. Amen.
Amen.
Now have a moment of silence for reflection.